5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running.
There is no other institution that has the ability uniquely.
Without a heritage, every generation starts over.
Ask not.
To remind the current regime.
What your country.
We the people tell the government what it is allowed to do.
To get back in their box and stay there.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
From the Heritage Foundation, this is Heritage Explains.
If you had 90 minutes to spare, there's a lot you could do with that time. If you're in decent shape, you could run 9 miles. You could watch about half of the hit Broadway production, Hamilton. You could prepare a lasagna using homemade noodles. You could listen to 3 episodes of your favorite podcast, Heritage Explains. You could play a longish round of the resource trading board game Settlers of Catan. You could iron 20 to 30 dress shirts, depending on how much you've practiced and how wrinkle sensitive you are. The point is, there's a lot you can do with 90 minutes. But for the 150 million Americans who are users of the popular social media app TikTok, that 90 minutes does not look like any of the things I described, because that's how long the average user spends on the app every day. So it may come as a surprise that a conversation has started on Capitol Hill about limiting the reach of TikTok. To understand just how much and what that might look like, we spoke to Jake Denton, Research Associate in the Tech Policy Center here at the Heritage Foundation. Jake Denton, welcome back to Heritage Explains.
Thanks for having me.
So it's been a busy week on Capitol Hill. There's a lot to talk about with TikTok. A lot of things have changed, and there's a lot of questions floating around right now. But just to get us started, can you revisit for us, because you've actually already been on the show and talked about TikTok before. Can we revisit, what is the problem with TikTok? Why are we more interested in this TikTok conversation than YouTube or Instagram or any of these other companies that are out there?
Yeah, well, TikTok is a unique one because, as we've all seen over the past 5 or so years, there's about 1 million different reasons we could take legislative action on the platform. TikTok is owned by a Chinese parent company called ByteDance. It currently houses over 100 million monthly active users. The average user spends more than 90 minutes per day on the platform, and it's the primary news source for millennials and below, essentially. And so there are a lot of concerns. I think the most pressing is likely the data collection, data harvesting issue. That is what the bill we're going to talk about addresses. But essentially, the problem there is that given that it's a Chinese-owned company, all of the data that is collected on you, which TikTok is a bit unique in that it collects everything from keystrokes, geolocation data, the contents of your clipboard, your device identifier, really very intimate details about not only your use on the app, but your use on the device and kind of your daily digital footprint, far beyond the contents of the dance videos that you might click on. It bundles that up and then it sends it back to ByteDance. And the claim has been that it's not accessible in China, but we found out through investigative reporting from folks at Forbes that it actually is not only accessible, but has been accessed by China. And I think that is really the core problem here. You know, we can talk all we want about the digital fentanyl, the content, this, you know, pushing suicide content to kids, but it really the data concern is the foremost national security element here.
And what would malicious foreign actors be looking to do with this data? Should we really care that the Chinese Communist Party knows, you know, what I buy online or what video I tend to look at? Like, why does it matter in terms of national security?
Yeah, honestly, there's so many different variations of what you could do with the data, and we obviously have no idea what their kind of master plan is. But for example, they capture your voice print, right? So you speak into the phone, it captures your voice, it syncs it to your profile. Using the other device identifier type information they get, it can pair you up, you know, one-to-one. So your voice matches your identity. Then let's say, you know, you're out in public and the live mic is picking up on another person talking. They're able to instantly identify who's talking, what they're talking about. And so like in a city in DC, maybe that gives them access to a legislative conversation, right? Like using the live listening ability of TikTok and the device privileges turns into maybe a listening device. You go a totally different direction. Let's say it's not anything to do with high profile folks or high profile conversations. Maybe they just want to steal your identity, right? So you're a private individual. due to the contents of your clipboard, copy and pasting your passwords from a password manager, they were able to pull your bank account information. It knows that you clipboarded from your password manager into the Chase Bank app, so it knows the contents and that it was for Chase Bank, and suddenly they have access to your bank. There's like really no shortage of things they can do with this, both in, you know, tormenting us from a national security side, but also in ways that could just upend your life. I think that's the real concern here is we give them all the tools that they could dream of and then just say, go for it, right? Like there's no protection.
So what do we as Heritage support as a solution to this problem?
Yes. Yeah, so there's a new bill that, you know, most of the world has been talking about recently. It's the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary-Owned Applications Act. It's a bit of a mouthful. I might have even mixed up some of the words in there. But essentially what it does is it forces ByteDance, the Chinese parent company, to divest from TikTok. And so the core argument here is that the ownership of this big Chinese entity over TikTok is in large part the national security threat. The data flows going back to China could be cut off, essentially, if you force this divestment. It also would really kind of release their stranglehold on the algorithm, which is what's generating that content. And it would allow for an American company to revise those kind of data collection terms of service so that maybe it isn't collecting your voice print anymore. And so it really is taking this very popular social media platform that has a lot of users who use it for the sake of social media and decoupling it from the national security weapon, essentially, that China has deployed at scale here. So what we support is, you know, this bill in its entirety. We recognize divestment as a legitimate option towards untangling. But in the event ByteDance refuses to divest, there is a provision inside of the bill that would require app stores and ISPs to both delist and cut off traffic, respectively, to the platform. And, you know, if you're not going to divest, if you're not going to relinquish control, that is the only path forward is, you know, removal from the U.S. market.
So there have been some objections to this bill as well, some even from voices on the right, and they are saying things like this bill or a bill like it is limiting American freedom of speech or somehow is putting American companies in the market at risk. What is our response to those concerns?
Yeah, so on the speech side of things, I think it's important to understand that this bill has absolutely nothing to do with the content on TikTok and everything to do with the conduct of ByteDance, the parent company. And so there is no First Amendment protection for Chinese surveillance operations. And that is what we're trying to eliminate here, right? If there was a First Amendment question at stake, in the divestment proceedings, there would be a requirement to fundamentally change or alter the algorithm, right? Like that would be included in some capacity. It's not. You know, there is truly nothing to do with speech and everything to do with national security from the legislative perspective. On the side of it potentially, you know, being wielded to target, you know, American companies, it's kind of a tough answer because the reality is not only is that a misinterpretation of the bill, it's just like a factual inaccuracy. There is literally nothing in the bill that would suggest that. There are even very popular foreign adversary-owned applications that don't meet the criteria to divest. And so it's like such a strict set of rules. And all of these kind of comments that it could take down Rumble or X are very disingenuous spins on the contents and the reality of the bill. You know, it has to be a foreign adversary-owned application. So that is Russia, Iran, North Korea, or China. So only four nations it can originate from or be under control of. Then it also has to really resemble TikTok and the problem of ByteDance. It has to look very similar in this kind of data harvesting capacity. And then it also has to have this like very strict 20% threshold ownership. Like there's all these different things inside of this that really, when you look at X, when you look at Rumble, you can't even make a well-intentioned, good faith argument that it's covered. So unfortunately, you know, it comes from a lot of people we trust, but you just have to kind of brush this off. It's not true. It's just not only a misinterpretation, it's just an outright lie about the contents of the bill.
Can you give us an idea of what is going on Capitol Hill now? How has the bill progressed? What are its prospects going forward?
Yes, so the bill originated from the China Select Committee. So Congressman Gallagher had been nursing this thing for almost a year behind the scenes and putting together a really well-rounded, robust piece of legislation. The bill was then moved to the Energy and Commerce Committee, where it received a 50-0 in favor vote, which literally never happens. So resounding support out of Energy and Commerce, and that came you know, in front of the backdrop of a very, what they're calling, very sensitive national security briefing. And so they got all this information, which we are kind of believe has to do with the election and how they could use this platform to meddle in the election. So it gets this 50-0 vote showing that this is indeed a national security threat and bipartisan. And then it moves to the House floor, 300-plus vote in favor of victory, really resounding bipartisan manner again. Now it's moving to the Senate, and this is kind of where it gets interesting. So Schumer obviously has the authority to determine the next steps. It could, you know, go to the Senate floor in unanimous consent capacity, but someone would block it just naturally. And it would likely get referred to the Commerce Committee, where Commerce could then kind of determine the pathway forward, whether they mark it up in a different capacity, add amendments. But really, everything hinges on Schumer. And, you know, it's his discretion if he wants to call it to a vote or not. So really yet to be seen. I think that the momentum coming out of the House is very representative of the American people's kind of feelings about this app. They want it to, you know, receive a quick vote. And I think it'd be wise for Schumer to keep that momentum going and actually see this thing over the finish line. Because honestly, I think if this received a vote tomorrow, I think it would pass in a resounding manner. I think we've pretty much reached not just domestically bipartisan consensus, but globally. You know, look at the European Union and these other countries. Pretty much everyone is like, all right, we have to figure out how to do something with this. It's time. Like, call to a vote, have people actually put their name behind this thing.
And the White House is also on board.
Yeah, this is also unique where, you know, it came from, it's a Republican bill, really. It's from Chairman Gallagher in the CCP committee. Congresswoman McMorris Rodgers pushed this thing over the finish line. And the Biden White House is in agreement. You know, they've essentially conceded the TikTok point to the right, showing that, like, we absolutely have been in the right on this since, you know, President Trump's executive order in 2020. This is not like bipartisan in the sense that, you know, we equally put this thing together. It's that we've been right on this for so long and you just can't ignore it anymore, that the left has come over and now supports it all the way up to the White House. Because, you know, they really just don't want the embarrassment of this thing blowing up. So, yeah, it's a huge win for the right in particular.
Has there been any response from ByteDance or the Chinese Communist Party?
Probably one of the most aggressive lobbying operations I think I've ever seen in my short time in D.C., but, you know, in talking to folks around the city that they've seen ever. You know, they have pretty much a person on the ground going to every single office. The CEO flew in to come and meet with members and senators, and probably the greatest misinformation propaganda campaign on platforms like X. They now have famously used TikTok to send notifications to the devices of millions of Americans, having them call their congressman, which is very funny and ironic in a way because they use the geolocation data that we all say they're going to misuse to tell the person who their congressperson was and give them the correct phone number to call, almost proving the point, right? So, yeah, I mean, really interesting things happening on the corporate influence side as well. You have your nation state obviously pushing to preserve the tech. And you also have this mega corporation that's kind of interwoven with the nation state, pushing the propaganda, leveraging tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars in lobbying. It's pretty remarkable what's going on.
So there's 150 million Americans on this app, many of them young. And they're looking at all this and they are thinking, man, I am going to lose this app, which is a big part of my life. How do you respond to them? What would you say to them?
Well, you know, this is not a foregone conclusion that the app is going away. ByteDance can divest and TikTok can live on forever, just under different ownership. And that is essentially the path laid out for them. It's a very easy path to embark down. In the event that that does not happen, I think, you know, we're reaching this point in the social media moment where we almost have to have this conversation of, like, why is it that the kids are calling the congressmen and the senators and saying they're going to kill themselves if they lose an app where, you know, you just consume dance videos? It might be a good thing for people to take a breath. You know, you can go to Instagram, you can go to YouTube, you can still get your fix of short form video, you can still see the silly dance videos. But it might be time to take a breath anyways. If you're one of the children out there calling, or your kid is one of the children out there calling their member, saying they're going to kill themselves, saying they're going to kill the congressman or the senator, it might be time to, you know, take a day off and reflect on your use. But losing a social media platform is not the end of the world. and it's not even a foregone conclusion. So I'd say don't freak out quite yet. It hasn't even passed the Senate. So don't overreact is probably the moral of the story there.
Jake Denton, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you to Jake Denton for his contribution to today's episode. You can find more from Jake on X at RealJDenton and follow the work of the Tech Policy Center at heritage.org. Thank you as always to you for listening to Heritage Explains. If you have any thoughts or feedback for us, we look forward to hearing from you. You can reach out to heritageexplains@heritage.org. Take care, and we'll see you next week.
Heritage Explains is brought to you by more than 500,000 members of the Heritage Foundation. It's written and produced by Mark Ghani, Lauren Evans, and John Popp.